Welcome to Nutrition for Me on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. I'm Dora Walsh, nutritionist and functional medicine practitioner, supporting you to overcome your health problems such as obesity, low immunity, chronic fatigue, skin conditions, digestive problems, out-of-control cravings, and much more. Join me each week as I delve into the fascinating world of health and nutrition, focusing on the most important developments that can really aid you in your quest for health, energy, and longevity. This week, we're going to be talking about elite performance, and we'll be speaking to Maximilian Burrell. He's the CEO and founder of BioSpanner, a health service that provides chefs in your home to cook organic meals designed for your health with nutritional support. You can find out more about BioSpan on their website, www.biospan.io. They are the first organic personalized meal prep company in the UK. So definitely check them out. Welcome to the show, Maximilian. It's great to have you here.
Thank you for having me again, Dora.
It's wonderful to have you. We loved having you in the past. I think people feel really motivated by your interest in nutrition, your business offering, and everything that can be achieved having BioSpan, highly personalized approach to nutrition. And we're going to be talking about elite performance. You're the CEO and founder of BioSpan, the first bio-chefing service available in the UK. Tell us, before we go on to talk about elite performance, tell us how you came to be so interested in nutrition and health.
So it's actually the first bio-chefing service in the world. Yeah, no, the idea came around, how do you actually build the world's healthiest food service? And then I applied a name for it. I was in a room and I called it bio-chefing. So that's how it came around. Yes, and I built this company because I was super interested in nutrition. I grew up when I was young on a farm. And when I got to the UK, I started putting on a lot of weight after I was probably around 10 years old. And I remember being 12, 13, and I had these big legs and I had these big arms. And like tendons on your hands, you can see. Like I was looking at my classmates and I had tendons on my hands and I didn't have any. That was my goal. I was like, okay, I want to see those tendons. And so I remember I was up at night researching how weight loss works. I saw like weight loss pills and stuff like that. And I knew that they would work. But then my brother came up to me and said, you remember Ben? I was like, yeah, he lost all his weight. How has he done that? He told me that he just walks. That's it. He just walks. Yeah, that's it. So I started walking and I was into like parkour and things like that when I was younger. And next thing you know, I lost all the weight. Whilst I was in school, I was naturally quite strong and I liked bodybuilding. So I got into bodybuilding when I was about 14 years old. And I thought I was the picture of health because I'd walk around with a box of pasta and tomato sauce with an orange everywhere, with a bottle of water. Over time, so I got quite healthy then and I was spending a lot of time in the sun. I was doing boxing, things like that. But when I got to college, my health started to deteriorate quite a lot. I took this medication called Accutane because I had really bad acne, which at the time I didn't realize was basically just from dairy. So for anyone listening, if you've got terrible acne, just cut dairy out, honestly, and you'll see huge improvements. But my acne was so bad, I went on this medication called Accutane, which is basically a mega dose of vitamin A, which can be highly poisonous for the liver. And it made my skin amazing. So the skin looks so good afterwards. It closes all the pores, makes it super smooth, no acne, anything like that. But what I noticed afterwards is I basically started to develop IBS. So I was getting bloating from the foods I was eating. I'm not sure if I felt great either. And I was still into bodybuilding. And when I was, I think probably 19 years old or 18, I made a really terrible investment in a cryptocurrency. And I made £5,000 into the £10,000 and lost it. And I took out as a loan when I was young as well, which is a really dumb idea. And I thought I was going to go traveling to Thailand. So I ended up selling my gym. At a time I was working at Tesco's and I was telling everyone how much money I was going to make and how I was going to go traveling and do all these things. Anyway, it crashed and I lost all of it. And my whole trip to Thailand was canceled. I had no job anymore and I sold my home gym. And so I had a lot of time at home to think. And during that time, I basically decided to start my first business. It was called Super Fitness Merch. I was selling fitness merchandise, and this business didn't work out. And so I had to actually get a job. So I ended up working in an ice cream factory. Anyone here has probably heard of Hugo Valley. It's the UK's largest organic family-owned farm. I was making about 50,000 ice creams a day. underground in this 5-degree huge room, wearing a red face knit, red hair knit, and a white lab coat. And during this time, I had a lot of time to think, no money to do anything because I was paying off these loans. And so I basically thought I'd just double down on nutrition. I had food at home, I had a gym membership, and I wanted to get a six pack for the first time in my life. And on YouTube, I saw videos about fasting. So these videos said that you don't need to eat breakfast and you can go for multiple days. And at a time, I hadn't heard of this before, so it was completely unheard of. So I was just doing rice, broccoli, chicken. I had some belly fat on me. And so I tried it. I was working in this factory. I was making all these ice creams, cheesecakes, things like that. And I started skipping breakfast, basically. I was eating 1 hour later, finishing 1 hour earlier. And what happened is I got ripped. I got a six pack. I looked absolutely amazing. And so this was the first time I really learned something in the nutrition world, which wasn't conventional knowledge. And at the time, then if you're fasting, that was pretty crazy. So everyone was looking at me like, are you insane? Now it's pretty common knowledge and everyone does intermittent fasting, but at the time it wasn't. So I think this was 2018. So after that, I went to university. I was cooking meals at home. I was making meal prep for myself and I'd post on Instagram. And I had friends messaging me saying, hey, could you cook for me? So when I went to university, I was doing this really interesting entrepreneurship degree in Bristol. I was super motivated to build something. I arrived at university, I was super motivated to build something in this entrepreneurial course where you basically build businesses. There's no exams, no lectures. It's like a mini business incubator. And at first, me and my friends, we started a protein shake shack. So we were selling protein shakes outside gyms. And this was a terrible business. We tried pitching this to a panel for investors. It was like a competition, and it was basically crickets afterwards. And so I always wanted to make a meal prep company since my friend said, hey, can you cook for me? And we decided to give it a go. One of my friends mentioned that you can have food designed for your DNA. So there's like DNA tests, and I never heard anything like this. Now I know that basically if it's just food for DNA, it doesn't tell the whole picture. So you really have to do it based on many more factors. In fact, DNA plays just a small role in a whole bigger picture. But anyway, I built a meal prep company. It was around organic personalized food. And at a time, I wanted to figure out how to build a meal prep company that was different than others. And I was reading a book called Blue Ocean Marketing, which basically talked about you want to make a value proposition which is different than what's on the market. So rather than competing in a bloody red ocean, you compete in a blue ocean where things don't exist. I basically figured there was nothing that was organic and personalized. At the time, I didn't really know what organic meant. But whilst I was building this, I managed to get connected to quite a lot of nutritionists. So I was living in Bristol, and there was the College of Naturopathic Medicine and all sorts of things around cleaner food. And so whilst I was studying this business course, I suddenly got pulled into this entire other world around nutrition. I started reading books on nutrition. I was fasting for 1 day at a time, 2 days, 3 days, and I was doing 5-day fasts as well. No water, no food, anything like that. I was trying every diet under the sun, and I basically just became completely obsessed with learning more and more about nutrition, because I learned that a lot of things they say conventionally, eat grains, remove the red meat, have seed oils, all these things, to remove the animal fats. And I was reading books, I was saying completely other things. And so I was trying different diets, and basically I found that as I was increasing protein myself, reducing carbs, I started to feel really amazing. And so I was learning about organic foods. I was learning that a lot of the food, processed food they put inside, a lot of the foods that we have, they're like junk ingredients, they mess around with the body. And so I ended up launching this meal prep company called Champ, and it was going well for a few months, but then COVID came around. And when COVID came around, I was on a phone with some lady. And she was in hospital because she jumped off a bridge 6 months before to take her own life. She hit the ground, she was paralyzed from legs down. And when she was in hospital, she couldn't eat any of the hospital food. They were serving her rice puddings and jellies, and they thought that she was insane. And she had small intestinal bacterial overgrowth and mast cell activation syndrome, which basically, for anyone listening, is like IBS. So if you have bloating in your gut or anything, or intolerances to food, it's basically some form of gut issue, and histamine intolerance is just basically very common. And so small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. Anyway, so my business closed, and this was when the pandemic was coming around. And I think during this time, the world completely changed for everyone. So then people were inside their homes. There was a whole thing about the vaccines. And I was just sitting there just observing this. And I started to notice that you couldn't actually get real food anywhere. So you'd go to the hospital and there's aisles of sweets and fizzy drinks at WH Smith, but no way you could actually get real food. And I basically began to notice this everywhere. And in the midst of this pandemic, there was no focus on nutrition or food. And I was reading some pretty life-changing books around foods, and I was speaking to a lot of nutritionists, and it didn't make sense to me. And so I basically just kept experimenting more and more nutrition, healing my gut. And by this time, I'm maintaining a year-round six-pack. I feel great. I have no anxiety whatsoever. So whilst a lot of people were feeling anxious, having all sorts of mental health issues, I felt amazing. I was in great shape. I felt the best I've ever felt. And so for me, nutrition 100% works. And I became so passionate about the subject that I decided I wanted to build the healthiest food service in the world. It was a mixture of frustration that you couldn't actually get healthy food inside the UK, that with the medical system, it was just about prescriptions and nothing to do with actual preventative medicine. And I guess ambition of actually just building something great. So that's where I came up with the idea. We were sitting down at home and I was thinking, how do you actually eat as healthy as nutritionally possible? And the answer came, first, you need a program, which is actually just correct. Because if you have the wrong program, you're putting a ladder against the wrong wall. Then you buy the cleanest organic ingredients you can. You cook it at home from scratch. You eat it together as a family. You take supplements to fill any gaps that you're not getting from your food. And then you do testing to ensure that it's actually working. So I looked at this and thought, let's put a name to this. I call it biochefing. And the idea was basically personalized organic meals designed for your health. Long story short, that's how I got into nutrition. The rabbit hole just kept getting deeper and deeper. I discovered that the whole world basically suffers from two issues, which is digestive issues and metabolic issues. Some people say it's the same thing, but like digestive issues is like from your mouth to your stomach, to like your pancreas, gallbladder, intestines. And that leads to IBS, autoimmune conditions, or things that people feel, and metabolic conditions, you know, really just under exercise, overconsumption of calories, gut issues, eating processed junk foods as well. So basically what I found is, almost everything that we're dealing with today is from junk food. And what one thing as well, which was interesting, is whilst everyone was vilifying, it was like plant-based versus meat-based or this or that, it's almost as like two sides pitted against each other when there's an elephant in the room. That elephant is you go down a supermarket and it's not even real food. So that was the real elephant in the room. It's just the food's not even real anymore. It's basically cardboard food. It's human pet food, essentially. And that's where the passion for nutrition came. It's trying to figure out the truth and build something around it.
And now you work the CEO of Bios Global Health Service that provides a chef in people's homes to cook those organic meals. And they're designed with health in mind, with a nutritionist to support the person. Give us an insight in terms of what you do, the kind of audience you're with.
So for your audience, what I do now, so I used to run a meal prep company, as I said, but what I found was when you have so many people in the kitchen cooking for different people, it's basically impossible to get any requirements in there that are personal. And nutrition is so personal. It depends on your lifestyle, so what time you want to eat, what access you have to eat food. It depends on what food you like as well. So food preferences, there's a lot of culture as well. So there's kosher, there's halal, there's a lot of religious practices for food. So by default, food is already personal in that sense. But it's also very personal in terms of what you should be eating, especially if you have some form of health condition. So if you have any form of gut condition, if you have a metabolic condition such as type 2 diabetes, then suddenly you basically have to be eating different foods if you want to be on a path to recovery. And also if you want to focus on performance. When you start focusing on performance and you're dialing in your body through blood tests, gut tests, organic acid urine tests, you're basically modifying the nutrients in your food. It gets very complex. Now, what I do and what my company does, we put chefs in people's homes across the world. And this is in the UK, US, Canada, Dubai, Ireland. And we either work with a nutritionist or we provide a nutritionist who can do testing. And then we design the menus for you. The chefs go shopping for clean organic ingredients and they cook all your food in your home. So basically, you have this super personalized, organic, clean food designed in your home, your kitchen, and you wake up and it's just ready. You can do it yourself, and most people can. It just takes a lot of time. That's the thing. So if you want to eat super healthy, basically living in a kitchen. And so a lot of people want to outsource that. And so the people that we work with, as you can imagine, for a service like this, they're very rich. So we work with a lot of entrepreneurs, so people building businesses. We work with professional athletes. We work with a lot of celebrities. We work with people with really complex health issues, investors, people in finance, tech. And these are some of the highest performing people in the world. Very unique insight, because I've spoken to hundreds and hundreds of these people. And there's things that you learn about them. So they have patterns in terms of what they do. These are essentially the highest performing people in the world.
So what are you learning from those people? What kind of patterns are you seeing that are common in high performance, want that to achieve that elite?
There's a lot of lifestyle factors. So first of all, most of them are really nice people. So you work with all these people, and they really are great people, but they appreciate if their time is respected, and they really value competence as well. So when you're working at such a high level, they're looking for chefs who can focus on nutrition because they really value their nutrition. And so they want the best people who are working with them. What these people do as well is they outsource a lot. They hire nannies, they hire cleaners, they hire gardeners, personal trainers, drivers, executive assistants. So they're basically outsourcing all their time so that they can focus on their work or their craft, for example, if they're a professional athlete. They also travel a lot. And so they're very busy people. And something which is very interesting as well is, whilst I've been building Biospan, I've been able to see the migration of where people go. As of recent, for political reasons, taxes, whatever the case may be, a lot of people are moving, for example, from the US, they move to Ireland. And in the UK, they're moving to Barcelona, and they're moving to Dubai. So these people, they're very mobile, and they change locations a lot. Usually have a partner or a girlfriend with them, a wife. And when they have a partner with them, they're usually working as a team as well. So often we're contacted by the girlfriend, the wife, the husband, whoever it is, and working as a family unit, and they're trying to be successful together. So that's what I see in terms of lifestyle factors. In terms of nutrition, a lot of them don't eat breakfast. I'd say maybe 70% of people I speak to don't eat breakfast. And I personally don't eat breakfast. I think the reason for that is because when you're not eating breakfast in the morning, as it goes back to fasting, your focus is much sharper. So when you're not eating breakfast, as soon as you take that bite of food, suddenly your blood sugar's working and you haven't got the same focus that you would have. Because if you're not eating, you're essentially starving. Your body's super focused. You have increased brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which creates new cells in your brain so you can learn. And yeah, they're not, some eat breakfast. So whether or not you consider this a health practice or not, it's just what I say. So then they're not eating breakfast.
Is it because they're super busy and they just want to get straight on with their work, and then they're going to eat once lunchtime comes, or it's brunch? Or is it because they're doing this because they want to achieve a certain body composition? As we know, when we fast, the body goes into autophagy. If we fast for enough period of time, i.e. if we finish our dinner early and we have a late breakfast or lunch, then that overnight fast is a time where the body starts eating into old cells. So is it to biohack, or is it to go into autophagy and do the cell cleaning? Or is it because they just want to get down to work and get on with things, and they see food maybe first thing as a distraction, and maybe it takes away from their focus on getting on with their work? What do you think?
I think it's a mixture of both. These people, they're very highly intelligent. So they've worked with a lot of nutritionists. They listen to a lot of podcasts. They do a lot of reading. So I wouldn't put past them to understand the mechanisms of autophagy. And I suspect that a lot of them are doing that. So a lot of people I speak to, that then they're not actually people who want to become healthy. They are people who are already healthy, which is actually a really interesting correlation. So does that mean that people who are healthy are successful? Is it that successful people choose to be healthy? So it's a good question to ask, which one comes first? So I wouldn't put past them to understand the autophagy, but it is a time reason as well. For me, for example, personally, I first started fasting for weight loss and autophagy, but by the point that you've been doing it for so long, you forget that those benefits exist, and now you're just doing it because it would be inconvenient to start eating breakfast again. So I personally noticed that the morning is such a valuable time to actually get work done. That's where I do my most focused work. And if I was just to have breakfast in between, I would just destroy my productivity in the morning. I've tried it. I've tried having breakfast and lunch, for example. instead of lunch and dinner. And I found I'm just so much more productive when I'm not eating breakfast. I think it's a mixture of productivity, but I do think they're also highly aware of the fasting and autophagy. Some aren't. I would say that, by the way. Some people just naturally skip breakfast. So it does actually seem to be quite a natural thing for a lot of people as well. They just don't do breakfast, whether or not they know about autophagy. But yeah, that's the really interesting thing. So as I'll go into my sales call, I'm just naturally not quoting breakfast because I assume they're not having it, because most people just don't.
Now we're going to be talking a lot more about elite performance with Maximilian Burrow, CEO of BioSpan, after a few messages from our commercial partners.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. And we're on the Nutrition For Me show talking with Maximilian Burrell, CEO of BioSpan. And we're speaking about elite performance. And we're talking about those common traits in high performers. You mentioned that and often they don't have breakfast. Do they eat for lunch? Can you give us an idea? And are they having bulletproof coffee or anything like that?
At first, it's nice. It's like quite a creamy latte. But yeah, it's after a while, I couldn't even look at it anymore. In terms of book, I can tell you one thing. So no matter, people follow different diets. That's the first thing I want to put out there. So I have billionaire customers, for example, who are vegan or plant-based. And it's actually not very common. The vast majority of people are following, they try a keto diet sometimes, but that never usually lasts. Sometimes it's a paleolithic diet and that can last, some people just stick to that. I think the most common thing is what I call a modern ancestral diet. So what a modern ancestral diet is, it's basically a diet that's just focused on clean, single ingredient foods. So it's really about, in the past 100 years or so, there's been a lot of different foods introduced into our supply chain that never used to exist. So all sorts of ultra highly processed seed oil that have to go through hexane, deodorants, and all sorts of things like that. And the body, these things aren't compatible with the body because we've never evolved to have them. So as you find, as you have emulsifiers that destroy your gut lining, you have heavy metals in your food because we pollute the waters and it ends up going back into our food system. The body struggles with a lot of these things. And I think a lot of people are waking up to the whole ultra processed food problem. So whether you're pointing at this camp or this camp who are on different dietary philosophies, I think the thing that everyone basically agrees on is processed food is really bad for you. And so the majority of people, they just want clean, balanced food. So what we talk about is organic fruits and vegetables, 100% grass-fed animals, pasture-raised chicken and pork, no antibiotics, no GMO, nothing like that. Wild fish, even glass containers. We do glass containers because there's a lot of research around microplastics, especially for men, that they have microplastics in their testicles, and guys don't want that. So what they request from us is just, they call it just balanced meals. It's just balanced, clean food without additives, without preservatives, without junk foods inside it. That's basically what the majority of people want. But the thing that everyone has in common as well, despite the dietary requirements, is high protein. So everyone's looking for high protein. Whether someone's on a plant-based diet, whether someone's on a balanced or animal-based diet, whatever the case may be, that seems to be a common factor for everyone as well. And I think that's just because of how important protein is. It's the tissue that makes all your body. And so many of them skip breakfast. All of them want clean food. All of them want high protein. And in terms of meals they're eating, I guess it depends. I guess everyone wants European food. I can tell you that. So in terms of cuisines, differs depending on which part of the world you're from. So if you have a Chinese client, they want food that's recognizable. So they want Chinese ancestral food. If you're speaking to an American client, they often want European food. And if you're speaking to a client in Dubai, they want European food as well. So European food and cuisine is marveled really as the symbol of health in the world. I've even had clients in India who wanted a chef from Europe just so they could have European cuisine. Because depending on which part of the world you're from, the chefs just learn what's local in the area, which is normal. So in the UK, chefs would learn cuisines that we have here. In Asia, they learn Asian cuisines. In Europe, it's European cuisines. And it's very hard to find someone who really has that oriental fusion cuisine of having multiple experiences. So if you're native from a region and you're a very good chef, you're pretty much pre-qualified for that cuisine because you've lived there. So what people have for lunch, it's just usually high protein, maybe lower carbs. Also, low carbs is also very common. Just want to throw that there. It's not everyone per se. I spoke to someone the other day on 600 grams of carbs a day because he's an ultra performance athlete. And so it's the most carbs I've ever seen anybody on. Yeah, so that was pretty crazy. But yeah, a lot of people want low carbs. Personally, myself, I eat low carbs as well. I find that I feel better when I eat low carbs. And it's not keto. So keto is like 20 grams of carbs a day. I'm talking about like 100, maybe 150 grams of carbs a day. When I eat within this range, I feel great. And when you feel great, it's not just that day, it's also the next day. I think carbs varies differently depending on your lifestyle, your region as well, where you're from. So I think ancestry does play a role in a carbohydrate metabolism, especially with the amylase enzyme, which some people produce more amylase in their mouth, which breaks down carbohydrates, and they produce more in their pancreas, which breaks down carbohydrates. So I do think there's actually a genetic role for carbohydrate metabolism. So that differs per person, but most people don't want seed oils. So a lot of people come to us, they don't want seed oils. So right now, if you're following anything health, you'll hear a number of influencers, number of doctors, nutritionists talking about seed oils and what it does to the body. And people I speak to, everyone really is influenced by what they watch online. So yeah, people, they don't want seed oils.
Just for our listeners today, in case they don't fully understand, obviously you're probably talking about things like sunflower seed oil. Any other seed oils that you're referring to that you're not using?
It is any ultra processed seed oil. Some seed oils, like cold press sesame seed oil, is actually very ancestral. So it's been around in Asia for a long time. Flax seed oil as well, when it's cold pressed, can have higher omega-3 contents. But that's just down to personal preference if someone actually wants to use them or not. Seed oils, which I'm referring to, is things like sunflower seed oil, canola oil, things like that, basically. If you go in the supermarket and you see a yellow oil in a plastic bottle and it says heart healthy on it, there's a 100% chance it's not, basically. So that's basically it. What you really want to be focusing on in terms of oils is you want really good quality extra virgin olive oil. Coconut oil can do as well. There is animal fat, so you can use ghee, you can use tallow. Things like pork lard are a bit more controversial because it has a lot of omega-6 inside it from what they feed the pigs for their diet. You can have things like duck fat as well. So with animal fats, they have a very high, they're basically super tolerant to heat. So they're very good for cooking. Now, a lot of people choose not to have them inside your diet, but the way that I look at saturated fat is your brain is made of saturated fat. And we've eaten saturated fats forever. It's also very tasty. But that's just down to personal preference. If you speak to one practitioner, they say don't have saturated fats. If you speak to another one, they say absolutely do. But I think everyone pretty much agrees on extra virgin olive oil. I think avocado oil can be good. I wouldn't have too much because of the omega-6 content. And you can have cacao butter. You can have, yes, those really the mixture of oils. Yeah.
Now, you did mention a bit earlier about the ancestral diet. For people that don't know what that means, what do you mean by the ancestral diet?
Let me give some context. So when I was in university, I was learning more about nutrition. The prevailing narrative at that time was that animal foods aren't good for you and fats aren't good for you. And so I was following quite a low fat diet at the time. And I even tried veganism for a month. So I was reading, I think, the longevity diet, which is based around cancer. It's about how like fasting supports chemotherapy and how reducing protein can help reduce mTOR activation, which stimulates cancer growth. And then I read a lot of conflicting books as well. So I was reading things like Bulletproof Diet, a lot of books around different animal foods. But there was one book in particular, which was very fascinating to me. And that book was called Nutritional or Physical Degeneration by Dr. Weston Price. So Weston Price, he was a dentist in the 1930s. And at a time, so today we deal with different health issues than there used to be in the past. And now it's dementia, Alzheimer's, it's type 2 diabetes, it's heart disease, it's lung cancer. So these are the things that kill most people. At that time, it was tuberculosis. So that was a bacterial disease, which you get from things like water. And it was also tooth decay. So like now we have a modern dentistry. So people replace their teeth to get like nice shiny veneers or whatever the case may be. But at that time, you just basically deal with having no teeth and being pretty ugly. Anyway, so Dr. Weston Price, he wanted to visit indigenous people across the world. So these are basically wild humans in Switzerland, in the Inuits in North America, the Aboriginals in Australia, the Maasai and different clans in Africa, Tanzania. And so he wanted to find out what they're eating and what their dental health looked like. And so he went out into all these different regions. He had a camera person with him and he was taking photos of all these different people. And what he found was absolutely amazing. Yeah, he was expecting their teeth to be falling out and all sorts of things because they didn't have access to like toothpaste, toothbrushes, my dental care that we had at the time. But what he found was completely different. What he found was not only did they have perfect teeth, they also had like perfect health. So their teeth had perfect arches. So they were wide formed arches. Unlike a lot of people today that they don't have fully formed arches. So their teeth become crowded. And that's why you have so many teeth in like different locations, have to get braces. And what he discovered was that is actually a deficiency of vitamin A, D, E, and K2, which are fat soluble vitamins, many found in animal foods. He was observing these people. And what he found was the closer they were living to society and more involved to society, the sicker they would become, the more incidences there would be of tuberculosis and tooth decay. So there was almost no level of tooth decay at all in indigenous people. But as soon as you go somewhere where they have flour and jam, suddenly they had tooth decay and they would get tuberculosis as well. And inside his book, he even had A and B scenarios of twins. And one twin would grow up indigenously, another twin would grow up with civilization. And what he found is the twin that grew up indigenously had perfect teeth, perfect health. They looked amazing. The twin that grew up with civilization, the jaw didn't develop as much. Their teeth were overcrowded as well and had rampant tooth decay. And so this actually goes much deeper than you think. So what these people were eating was basically just the food that they had around them. So through all of human history, we've only been able to eat the food that we had around us. So for example, through ice ages, Europe was basically ice age forever. And America was even ice age forever. So it was like Alps all here. And tomatoes and strawberries don't grow in a snap. You can't eat them. Like there's like almost no vegetation. So people would eat a lot of animals. They eat mammoths and things like that. And it, depending where the people lived in the world, they'd have different access to plant foods. So if they were living more north, like the Inuits, they would eat a lot of salmon, they would eat a lot of animals, and they would eat the entire parts of the animals as well. So they'd eat them, the term is nose to tail. So you'd gather berries and things like that, but they can. And the reason they ate nose to tail is because it contains different nutrients which you need for survival. So at that time, there was scurvy, which is vitamin C deficiency. And this was a well-known phenomenon if you travel, especially sailors, that they would need oranges and limes so that they can shout out to UK for discovering this, that you need vitamin C. So if you're just eating animal food, you get scurvy. So Weston, he was speaking to the indigenous people and saying, you eat just meat. Why don't you get scurvy? And they weren't answering him at first, but over time they'd answer him. And they said, there is a little thing that we eat. It's a adrenal gland from the animal. And then Westerners said, why don't you tell the Americans about this? And they said, the Americans are too smart. So it's just a case of ancestral wisdom that people don't believe that gets lost. Anyway, so he goes to different places. A lot of places do eat plant foods and things like that. But he didn't find a single place where they didn't eat animal foods. The only thing he found was a group of people that if they couldn't get access to animal foods, they would turn to cannibalism. So that was the only things he was able to find. And plant-based diet, vegan diets in particular, is only possible nowadays in terms of survival because you can have a B12 supplement. Otherwise, you'd have brain damage. And anyway, the main thing I took away from this book, which was the further a human moves from its original habitat, the sicker it becomes. So the further we go to modern civilization. Now, you can give or take, we've made a lot of advancements in medicine, such as penicillin, which is absolutely great. And we're constantly discovering all sorts of new inventions and new ways to extend lifespan and live better lives, which is absolutely amazing. But it doesn't change the fact that we have primordial settings inside our body that require certain nutrients to function. And the body goes into dysfunctions, so you cannot get these nutrients. So that's what I learned. And so what the ancestral diet is, it's accessing the foods that humans have always had access to and prioritizing these foods in the amounts that are relevant to your body. So that would be eating animal foods, the whole animal, nose to tail, animal fats, be accessing plant foods, fruits, but eating them seasonally. So you eat what's in season at the time. And it's basically excluding all things which humans didn't have. Now, there's a few examples you could give of modern things, like MCT oil is an ultra-processed refined food from coconut oil, which people use to burn body fat and enter ketosis faster. But you can find, there's small examples of things you can find, but the general principles is that a lot of the things that we consume nowadays just are not good for the body. And if you stick to the most original foods that humans have always had access to, then your health does far better. So what people want when they come to Biospan, to my company, is they want clean, balanced food. And that's basically what it means. It's nothing fancy. It's not this paleolithic caveman sort of diet. It just means I just want clean food. I don't want these random pesticides. I don't want these random seed oils. I don't want these random refined sugars, salts, additives, preservatives. They don't trust it. After the pandemic, the curtain lifted for everyone. Everyone's seeing what's going on behind the works. And now people are really waking up and they just want clean food. They want to take control of their health. And they don't want these random ingredients, which are just putting it inside their food. So that's what the ancestral diet is. It's basically clean foods, prioritizing protein to help you feel and perform and live as healthy as humanly possible.
It's basically just focusing on what we would have eaten and what we genetically predisposed to be eating and how we thrive in terms of physical performance.
Exactly.
Rather than all of these fake foods from manufactured, the processed foods that really the body
exactly
doesn't recognize. The body will often dump the residues of those foods into the tissues. So yeah, I can see why your high performers that you work with really doing well, because the diet you're providing is totally clean and it's reflective of the diet that we perform well on.
Not only is your body dumping in your tissue, your body's actually actively trying to get rid of it all the time. So that's why you have your liver. So that's why you have kidneys. These foods, not only does it go into your tissue because the body can't handle the load, the body does see them as foreign objects and is actively trying to get rid of them inside your body because they have no place for it.
That's a big strain on the body. It's a strain on the liver. It's unnecessary energy that the body expends trying to mostly understand what it is, trying to recognize it. Sometimes it's dumped. Sometimes they're trying to excrete it through bioaccumulation in the liver, but it's a lot of pressure on the body.
One thing I do want to mention, by the way, which is, so basically, you said earlier, what do people eat what do these high performers eat? So first comes your lifestyle. So what can you reasonably access at what time so you can just eat? Then you have cuisine preferences and food you just don't like. Then you want clean food on top of that. So that's like the ancestral diet. And then on top of that, that's where you actually start personalizing things. So depending on the state of your health, if you have gut issues, you might be following a low FODMAP diet, which is a very specific diet often prescribed by practitioners to remove foods that ferment in the gut. It's usually followed for 30 days or so. Or you might be following a low candida diet or a low histamine diet, or you might be wanting to optimize your macros and food and nutrients for performance. But basically the foundation is your lifestyle, what food you like, and just clean food. And then you basically personalize that on top. And so it's, if you eat clean food for the vast majority of the population, that's basically all you need to do. That's it, really. Just access clean food, focus on protein, and have some sort of pulse on your macros. And all macros means, it just means portions. It's just the volume of food measurement, like how much food is in there. If you reduce the carbs and maybe some fats, you'll probably lose weight. If you increase protein, you'll gain muscle. So if you have some form of pulse on this and you're just eating clean foods, that's fine for pretty much everyone. Now, if you want to take it a step further, if you want to deal with a health condition, that's usually where you're going to a territory of working with a practitioner of some form, and you're following some form of therapeutic diet or some performance sports-based diet. That's the levels I see for nutrition personalization. So www.biospan.io. So biospan is, it means lifespan. So bios is the ancient Greek word for life, and span is, and so biospan.io.
Great. And if they want to follow you on Instagram, it's at thisisbiospan. And they can also find you on LinkedIn, Maximilian.
Right.
Definitely check him out on LinkedIn and see what he's doing. Check out the website, www.biospan.io, and follow them on Instagram at thisisbios. We're going to be talking a little bit more about elite performance after a few more messages from our commercial partners.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on the Nutrition for Me show on UK Health Radio, talking about elite performance with Maximilian Barrel, CEO of Biospan. You can find out more about them on their website, www.biospan.io. Follow them on Instagram, This is Biospan. And also on LinkedIn, you can find Maximilian. We've been talking about elite performance. Just before we finish, tell us very briefly what you learned about these high performers and what you personally do for your own high performance.
You'd expect from what you see online, from my David Goggins and things like that, that these high performers are doing ultra marathons and running 100 miles and things like that. It's actually very rare. The majority of people I see just go to the gym. I think the main reason is it probably just saves a lot of time and gets what they need out of the way. And a lot of them do have personal trainers. So that's just something I noticed as well. If you're looking for high performance, a lot of these people are just going to the gym. What I've learned from these high performers is they're basically just normal people who have systems in their lives. They're not really aliens or anything. Some are aliens, but the majority of people have built businesses, so they're entrepreneurial in a way. I think with most career paths, you hit a ceiling. The highest paid job in the world by far is owning stocks, basically. So whether you're an entrepreneur or whether you're an investor, whether you're a celebrity or an influencer who has a company running some, or like an athlete, you are the brand yourself. There's, in order to reach that level of wealth, the only way is to start building assets, basically. If you work in finance, technology, you can make a lot of money, but it really is that jump that where you have the highest level of affordability. So these people are very naturally systems-based. I think when you build stuff, you have to start employing other people. So they go from employing people, from employees to even in their personal life. So a lot of them have nannies, housekeepers, they get chefs, they have cleaners. Some of them have drivers, they hire personal trainers. So they're basically buying their own time back. So that's the first thing, is they have systemized their life and they're buying their own time back. So that's something which you learn from them, is they have built these incredible empires this way. They don't eat breakfast, they eat high protein. A lot of them don't take very many supplements, actually, which is interesting. Most of them just do weightlifting. Most of them just want to lose a bit of belly fat as well. And also, a lot of people come to us, they're already healthy. I think that's a real point to drive home, is a lot of people, they're not coming to us looking to improve their health. In fact, a lot of people who do come looking to improve their health don't do as well as the people who are already in that healthy lifestyle. And there's a thing to say there, does improving your health improve your chances of success? My hypothesis is definitely yes. So if you're improving your health, you're focusing on sleep, things like that, you're waking up, you're sharper, you're more resilient, stress, you have better memory, you have more satisfaction with life, you have those traits required for that long and very painful journey of building something. If you want to focus on performance and success, doubling down and having a system for your nutrition is very important. So find what works for you. You know, fasting doesn't work for everyone, it might work for you. Maybe you are a high carb person, maybe you're a low carb person. I'd say protein is very important for everybody. You should be exercising. The most common thing I see is weightlifting. So it's probably the most time efficient way. And it's just being aware of what clean food is. It's not wanting those extra, whether this applies to success and performance or not, who knows? I've met a sports nutritionist who said that athletes should be on bagels and Nutella. But my common objection to that is, Ronaldo is not on bagels and Nutella. When Ronaldo joined Manchester United, he brought his own team. He brought his own masseuse, brought his own doctor, he brought his own nutritionist. He was focused on Messi's, not on bagels and Nutella. So that's the main thing. The quality and freshness of your food, it matters. It's a longer term investment, and especially if you care about longevity. So you might say it doesn't affect performance, but it's definitely accelerating your aging. It's creating inflammation in the body. It's oxidative stress, accelerating skin aging. Just for your own good, just eating clean food is the best thing you can do. And also, they have a wife or girlfriend or husband or partner who's supporting them. So they're working together as a team. And in terms of how they built their wealth, which is very relevant for a lot of people, I think a lot of them were just smart about the path they chose to make money. When you're building something, you can basically decide from day one whether you want to have a very painful, slow life, which doesn't go anywhere, or you can be very smart about your business model. How go somewhere where there's loads of demand, where people pay good prices, where it's very easy to deliver, and you'll naturally just make more money. I guess these people, they were smart in terms of what they wanted to do. And a lot of them also very innovative. So they create some really crazy things. They are aliens in a way, but I think everyone has the capacity to become an alien if needed.
It's been wonderful to talk to you. I hope you'll come on the show again in the future. And listen,
you too, Dora.
I really hope you've enjoyed listening to the show as much as I've enjoyed presenting it. Join us again next week on the Nutrition for Me show on UK Health Radio. Today's show is brought to you in association with Revive Active, our show's sponsor, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, offering solutions across all life stages. Revive Active are committed to pure, premium, and positive solutions for everyone's well-being needs, working with your body's needs from morning to night, from energy to a restful sleep, kids' health, and active aging. We've teamed up to provide UK Health Radio listeners with 15% off their range, so you can try it for yourself. Just go to reviveactive.com and use Radio 15 to see what feeling super is all about. And until next week, thank you and goodbye.